Chapter 3. Scavenger Vessel Wealth of Kings, the Solar Void. They all looked at Focron as Sork finished speaking. The Headhunter Prime held his gaze steady on the scavenger captain. Ms. Madra felt the silence run through the chamber and begin to settle. Each of the Space Marines was still. Even Focron's continual flow of movement had paused.
"It is certain that it is him?" asked Focron.
"The signal coding and key phrases are correct. It's him."
Focron nodded, not blinking.
"How easily could what this merchant knows be used against us?" asked Silonius. The hulking warrior stood against one of the walls, armoured but face bared.
"We are only at one stage removed from the smuggler clans. If our opponents find them, then they get Sork's associates in the Venusian collectives. Then they get the name of this ship. Then they cut away until they find where it has been. And from there..."
Focron left the word hanging.
"A low probability of events unfolding like that," said Orne softly.
He sat closest to Miss Madra, and she could see the slight raising of an eyebrow that turned the statement into a question. He was running his bare palms over each other.
"Yes," said Focron, "but we are moving in a volatile section of the operation. Small chances could now have a disproportionate effect on the outcome, if we are not careful."
Orne shrugged and looked at his hands, continuing to run them slowly over each other, palm to palm. Miss Madra found her eyes pulled to the movement. In someone as precisely still as Orne, it was like a scream. Not for the first time she wondered at the minds of these warriors. They had just learned that Sork's contacts in the Venusian smugglers had received a signal. The signal was from a man called Hyrakro, a dowager son of the Hyson cartel and one of the assets the Legion had used in the opening stages of its current operation. The man was supposed to have died, along with two other assets whose continued existence held more risk than opportunity. The warrior they had left on Terra, the one who had taken the honorific Altharius, was supposed to have eliminated Hyrakro. The news from Sork's contacts meant that mission had failed. The fact that it also must mean that the enemy were on their trail and their Legion brother was most likely dead had not even been remarked on. All that mattered now was how they responded. Did they eliminate Hyrakro themselves or get a proxy to do it for them? Their discomfort at that choice was what shouted from Orne's fidgeting, Focron's stillness and Hecaron's silence. They did not like having to respond to circumstance. They created circumstance and marshalled confusion. For all of their obsession with the fluidity of war, they were used to control.
"He dies," said Focron at last. "That is my decision. No loose ends. Not at this stage."
He looked at Sork. The scavenger captain gave a small flinch, but then controlled himself.
"Get your contacts to confirm the rendezvous and then make best speed for it. We are going to do this with our own hands."
Sork nodded and turned to go. The man looked shaken, but he was good at hiding it. Focron looked around the assembled team.
"The ship will hold at a distance. An execution element will go to the rendezvous in a lighter, confirm the kill and withdraw. We exchange signals every 5 minutes. Two missed, and the ship runs."
Miss Madra nodded.
"The execution element?" she asked.
"I will go myself. And you,"
Focron said, nodding at Miss Madra.
"He will be expecting smugglers, so you will be our human face. We must confirm identity before termination."
I should go too,"
said a thin voice, and they all looked around. Incarnus met their stares and shrugged.
"The smugglers would never come alone, and if you want to be certain that this Hyrakro has not already been compromised, you need me to have a peek in his brain before you turn it to mist."
The Psyker bit his upper lip as silence answered his words, but he did not drop his eyes. Focron nodded at last.
"You are right. You come."
"You need a backup," said Silonius,
and Focron looked around.
"If this is not what it seems, or if there is a problem, you will need cover."
Focron looked at Silonius and nodded again.
"Agreed," said Focron.
Silonius looked up, and his eyes met Miss Madra's. She felt a cold surge in her skin. There was something about Silonius that she could not identify, something that she had noticed more in the time since the strike on the signal station. It was as though there was something else watching her from inside the warrior's eyes. Artifact 9, Kappa Mu, the Solar Void. The Void artifact had turned around the sun since before the earliest charts of the solar system existed. The Red Priests of Mars had given it what passed for its name. They had labelled it Artifact 9 Kappa Mu. But while the dry collection of symbols and letters implied something easily classified and indexed, the truth was that neither the Tech Priests nor any of the other organisations that had endured from the Dark Age of technology knew what it was. A geodesic sphere of black metal, 30 kilometres in diameter, the artifact looked to the eye like a dark moon in search of a parent planet. Beneath its outer layer, passages threaded between a honeycomb of vast spaces open to the void. Huge ragged holes sat open on its surface, and a pall of debris hung around it like a cloak. The debris, just like the artifact, had always been there, resisting the natural forces that should have pulled it into the great drifts long ago. The greatest mystery, though, was that it was invisible to anything but touch or natural sight. Auspexes looked straight through it, and its substance defied both technology and scholarship. There had been expeditions, analysis, sifting of the records compiled by the scholars of the conservatory, but all attempts to discover its origin or purpose had failed. There had been attempts to destroy it, to clear it from the reaches between Terra and Venus. Those attempts, like the attempts to understand its nature, had failed. Melter, seismic, and graviton charges had not scratched its main structure. So it remained, bearing its prosaic title and surrounded by satellites which broadcast warnings to any vessels that came close. Of all the corners of the solar system, there were few darker. Silonius reflected upon this as he hugged the shadow at the edge of the chamber. The location for the rendezvous was in a part of the tunnel network that had been the base for one of the Mechanicum's attempts to discover the artifact's secrets. The structure defied all attempts to bond anything to it, so the tech priests had threaded plasteel passages and chambers through the black metal tunnels. Smugglers had used it and abandoned it since, but there was still air inside the tunnels. There was no gravity, so they had advanced to the chamber with the thump, thump of boots maglocking to the floor. They were not going deep into the artifact, but even the scant few hundred metres felt like they were walking past an invisible barrier into the unknown. Silonius blinks cycled from infrasight to dark vision as he moved. The corridors shifted between total black, hazed green, and the stark colours of hot and cold. Miss Madra and Incarnus were ahead of him, grey shapes brought alive by the orange of their body heat.
"Nothing on the Auspex," said Fokron across the vox.
The Headhunter Prime was 20 paces behind them.
"Though this place..."
"I do not like it," said Silonius, echoing Fokron's unvoiced thought. "A better site for a counter-ambush you could not find. There could be anything out there, and we would not see it until it was on top of us."
Tactical runes fizzed with static in his helmet display as he spoke. The substance of the artifact made them doubly blind.
"Indeed. But that applies to our quarry as much as to us," said Fokron.
Ahead of them, Miss Madra went still and folded into the side of the corridor. Incarnus followed her a second later. Silonius saw the human's movement and halted, pivoting and dropping to one knee to cover the passage behind them.
"This looks like the place," whispered Miss Madra. "No sign of anything."
"Move into position and wait," said Fokron.
"Going firm," said Silonius, shifting his position to behind a block of cold machinery, locked to one side of the passage.
He flicked a glance over his shoulder to make sure that his sight lines extended cleanly in both directions. He could see Miss Madra and Incarnus crouched next to an opening into a larger chamber beyond. Both were orange-yellow blurs in cold blue. Fokron had vanished, the heat from his armor a smudge in the air. Silonius steadied his heartbeats, cycling them down to a low pulse of utter calm. He did not like this. He did not like the fact that they had been drawn here. He understood Fokron's reasoning and could not fault its logic, but he blinked. The passage in front of him fizzed in its shades of blue and black. A sharp tingle ran up his arms. His fingers suddenly felt like they were locked in ice. He fought not to let out a gasp. Something vast and cold was rising from within him, clawing up the base of his spine until he was moving through the Sigma. The warrior who had come to escort him walking in front of him. They passed through the ship, winding through corridors he had not trodden in years, descending bit by bit into the deep regions, where the air tasted of stagnant water and electric charge. There were few lights here. Those who tended the machine heart of the ship needed no light to see. Red furnace lights glowed from around corners, and the hammer pulse of reactors trembled through the floor and walls. The route they followed was winding, but not cryptic. He wondered about that, even as he memorized each detail. He had a feeling that they were going to somewhere he had never been before, somewhere hidden on the ship he knew so well. That did not surprise him. It was the Legion's